Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Listener, before the episode starts, Obscura is supported by listeners like you. To get access to the 6 bonus episodes you aren't getting on the main feed, head to patreon.com/obscuracrimepodcast. That's 3 times the content you're getting on the free feed each month. And by supporting the show, you allow me to continue to supply you with the content you love. Even a single dollar is enough. If 10% of listeners were to commit to just $1, it would allow me to effectively double the amount of content I can put out. That would mean double the free episodes on the free feed and double the Patreon on episodes. Again, to get access to 6 bonus episodes you aren't getting on the free feed, head to patreon.com/obscuracrimepodcast. Thank you for listening, and let's get on with it.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
If this were a Hollywood movie, the story of Gary Ridgway would build to an explosive climax. Considering the path he took, the events that unfolded, and the continued escalation, I wouldn't blame you for thinking that. The end of a serial killer's life of violence is often as dull as any other crime. A knock may come at the killer in question's door. They may be interrupted at their workplace, asked to come downtown. There are exceptions, of course. Richard Ramirez and Ted Bundy both had captured fit for the silver screen, not Gary. No, Gary's arrest, after a life of violent thrashing, came during a period of relative inactivity. The key moment of Gary's downfall occurred on November 16, 2001. The old feelings were back. Yes, on that day, Gary couldn't control his urges. He loved Judith, but on the rare occasion he had to quench the thirst inside, the other Gary that lived inside him thrashing about. This was an occasion when he requested extra money from Judith. She gave him the cash and Gary left searching for a sex worker. He drove off on a cold and wet November day. Gary settled on a young woman that caught his eye. Pulling up to the curb, he flashed the woman his cash. She asked what Gary wanted to buy. Gary told her and was subsequently arrested. Still, Gary went home that day. DNA samples were subjected to analysis. It uncovered the boogeyman in their midst. Imagine the crushing realization from investigators that they had his DNA samples since 1987. A search warrant was issued, and on November 30th, 2001, the police arrested Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer, who still worked at the Kenworth Truck Factory.
You went to a lot of work to create these ruses. And it sounds to me like you had a series of ruses that you had kind of in your hip pocket that you would bring out and you would use to make you appear normal to some of these women. And there had to be a way of you deciding, even though it was just like that, which ruse would work with which woman. I mean, you had to have a way of feeling them out and saying, I think ruse number 1, 2, 3 will work with this woman. Explain that process to me.
Well, one of them was, a woman would get in the car.
She's already in the car?
She's in the car. Let's say she's always in the car. We're driving down the road. And she wants to see my ID. So I whipped out my ID, and with my ID would be I'd put my finger over my driver's license to hide my name. Mm-hmm. But on the opposite side was pictures. And a picture of my son. And then she'd see my son, and they would know I was a probably normal person.
But you were really using your son as part of your ruse.
At the time, I didn't want to picture my ex-wife there, so I had to have a picture of my son.
Sure, you had to make it sound good.
I had a driver's license on one side, my ID, and then when I showed my, and then the next picture was my son, so that was, and in the vehicle I had had some of my son's stuff in there, that he left in there, or some Star Wars or something like that. And also there was like a family setting.
In your vehicle?
Yeah, so every time I opened up my wallet, there would be a picture of my son on one side, behind my ID. There's my ID. I hide my name, flip it over, and there's my ID and my son's picture on the back side. And they'd see that, and that would lower any big defenses. Mm-hmm. And kids' toys, 8-year-old toys on the dash.
The only thing that would be better than that would be to have your son in the car with you. That would be an incredible ruse.
That happened once.
What happened?
It was July 18th, I think it was my brother's birthday. That weekend I picked up a woman on back highway, and Matthew was next to me in the seat, and she hopped in, and I took her over to in the South Airport area, and took her into an area, and my son was there, and I killed her. I'm real sure my son didn't see it, but that only happened one time.
But that was a pretty good ruse.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't you do it again?
Well, for one thing, I didn't want to my son to see that happen again, because that's when I was really killing a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, it never came to an opportunity again to do it. I had him in my truck. One time he was sleeping, and I picked up another prostitute that I didn't date her.
After the initial search of his lockers in 1987, a common nickname for Gary around the factory was Green River Gary. Investigators linked Gary to the murder of 4 women. Shortly after, 3 more victims were added to the list. This after microscopic spray paint spheres were identified as a specific brand of paint used at Kenworth. November 5th, 2003, after 2 years of proclaiming his innocence, Gary Ridgway pleads guilty to the murder of 48 victims. In exchange, he will not receive the death penalty. During those years, his family stood by him, but as more evidence came to light, those family members ceased contact, and in a crushing blow, even Judith separated from him.
I was in shock that day when I heard someone driving up in the driveway, and I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it, but it has happened. Oh, it was like a brick wall dropped in front of me and didn't know what to do. Everything stopped. He made me feel like a newlywed every day. What I miss the most is the love that I had and our life. And he was the best. To me, anyway.
Gary received life without parole. At his sentencing, the families of the victims were invited to speak. The family understandably infuriated with the monster that stood before them.
1982 through August 11th, 1983, with premeditated intent to cause her death, I strangled Shonda L. Summers to death. I picked her up, planning to kill her. After killing her, I left her body near the northern boundary of SeaTac Airport. Is that your statement?
Yes, it is.
Is it true?
Yes.
Count 23 of the information charges you with the aggravated murder of Cheryl L. Wims. Your statement about the murder of Ms. Wims is as follows. In King County, Washington, on or about May 23rd, 1983, with premeditated intent to cause her death, I strangled Cheryl L. Wims to death. I picked her up, planning to kill her. After killing her, I placed her body near the northern boundary of SeaTac Airport. Is that your statement?
Yes, it is.
Is it true?
Yes.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventure, and the challenges she overcame. The book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Personally, I love My Life in a Book. I tried it with my mom, and I've heard stories I'd never heard before because, you know, they just never came up naturally in conversation. It's easy to use, and my favorite part is it's given me more of an excuse to talk to my mom more. You know, it's not always easy to come up with those on your own. Listener, check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code Obscura at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. And use code Obscura for 10% off today.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And so the list goes on and on. the many women that fell victim to the Green River Killer read in a monotony. A list so long it's read for 40 minutes. It is believed by some investigators that Gary Ridgway killed over 90 women. He was convicted for 49.
Mr. Ridgway, I'm going to ask you at this time, how do you plead to the charge of aggravated murder in the first degree as charged in count one for the death of Wendy Lee Caulfield?
Guilty.
Mr. Ridgway, how do you plead to the charge of aggravated murder in the first degree as charged in count two for the death of Deborah Bonner?
Guilty.
Mr. Ridgway, how do you plead to the charge of aggravated murder in the first degree as charged in count three for the death of Marcia Chapman?
Guilty.
How do you plead to the charge of aggravated murder in the first degree as charged in count four for the death of Cynthia Hines?
Guilty.
How do you plead to the charge of aggravated murder in the first degree as charged in count five for the death of Opal Mills?
Guilty.
How do you plead to the charge of aggravated murder in the first degree as charged in count six for the death of Deborah Estes?
Guilty.
How do you plead to the charge of aggravated murder in the first degree as charged in count seven for the death of Carol Christensen?
It's worth taking a moment to appreciate Judge Richard A. Jones. He presided over the trial with a compassionate, firm, yet fair presence. He later spoke on his experience during the trial. I'm going to play some interview audio for you now.
They come up and they say the victim family member's name, the count number, and then they go on to say thank you for the words that have been expressed because it restored their dignity and made them seem like human beings. And one of the most profound statements that she made was, I have traveled through anger and walked down the long path to forgiveness. Every bit of that journey was allowed in your courtroom. Thank you. People that I work with would come up and ask me specific questions point blank about where was Gary Ridgway? Was Gary Ridgway going to plead guilty? And it was on a nonstop basis. Specifically told my family not to ask me questions about the Ridgway case. The reason I had Mr. Ridgway turn around was to make sure that he had a chance to see visually what the impact was and have an impression upon his mind as he went down into a cell and to keep that with him for the balance of his life. Give some level of decency to the loss of life. It wasn't just mere prostitutes who had died. These were young women who had been misguided at the point in time, who had misdirection. Now, I'm not asking them or telling them to anybody that they have to go out and tell Gary Ridgway, I forgive you, because that's extraordinarily difficult under those circumstances. But when they hear it from the bench, because those folks looking at their faces, I can tell you, they were desperately, desperately looking for words of direction of where they go from that point in time. I think one of the things that people come to courts looking for are answers. And merely because you come to court doesn't mean that you'll have an answer. A decision will be made, but it may not be the answer. In this particular case, a decision was made for Gary Ridgway, but we don't have answers about Mr. Ridgway.
Of the victim's statements, there are too many to read here for you today. His victims so numerous that the victim impact statements went on for hours. But I will read from you two that stood out to me as particularly poignant. Garrett Mills, brother of victim Opal Mills, had this to say. This is from my journal I wrote a while ago. I spent the weekend trying to face the past. I drove by the homes where Opal and I grew up, and I walked in the parks where we used to play. Then I went to our old elementary school, where I remembered her chubby little face, so proud of her Hair Bear lunchbox, proud to be a big girl in kindergarten on the first day of school. I walked along the same route we took to school. This is where I had promised her I would never leave her, and I would never let anyone hurt her. I scooped up the dirt with my hands and left a rose at the same swing set where we used to sit and dream about our future. Little Opal talked about the children she would have someday, innocently claiming they would all be happy. She talked about being rich someday so she could take care of our mother and buying her a big house. She said her son and daughter would also be named Garrett and Opal, and they would be as close as we were. We would all live together in our huge houses she would buy, and we'd watch cartoons and stay up as late as we wanted to, Even at age 7, she seemed to care more about others than she did herself. I then drove down to the Green River. I hadn't been there in over 20 years. It felt strange seeing the change. There were two fishermen standing on the bank where Opal was found. Families and couples in love were walking, laughing, being happy, perhaps talking about their big dreams and their future plans. Amidst all of this, I couldn't help it. I sat on the bank and cried. I cried about what Opal went through while alive and about her unfulfilled dreams. I cried for my mother who never got to see her baby girl grow up. I cried for my own young daughter, worried about her future in this scary world. Mostly, I cried about letting Opal down when she needed me most, and breaking my promise never to let anyone hurt her. Sarah King, daughter of victim Carol Christensen, spoke. Never in a million years did I think I would be standing up here facing the man that killed my mother. I was only 5 when my mother died and when my dad told me that she was never coming home. The one thing that I want you, Gary Ridgway, to know, I was that daughter at home. I was that daughter at home, waiting for my mom to come home. And I've had to grow up for the last 20 years, and this has been my life. I grew up, I've had to defend my mother. She wasn't a prostitute, she was a mother, she was a wife, she was a sister. And we miss her. I truly think you are a coward. You have useless excuses for what you have done and no remorse. And I'm glad that I have family that's going to be here for me. My family is here and I have them. You don't have anybody. You're going to wake up every day alone. And one day, you will miss the life that you had because it's over now. One day, you will miss your family like we miss ours. And no matter what you say, I will never, ever, ever forgive you. I will never forgive you. People have places to go when they die, and your place is waiting for you. I'm glad you didn't get death, because death is too good for you. Death is too peaceful for you, and you will die someday, and you will go to that place and you will get what you deserve. Gary sat without expressions through most of it. In a now much publicized moment, the father of one of the victims forgives Gary for what he's done.
Mr. Ridgway, there are people here that hate you. I'm not one of them. You've made it difficult to live up to what I believe, and it is what God says to do, and that's to forgive. You are forgiven, sir.
Gary immediately breaks down and cries. He is distraught through the rest of the sentence, even when he is given his moment to speak. I killed the 48 women listed in the state's second amended information. In most cases, when I murdered these women, I did not know their names. Most of the time, I killed them the first time I met them, and I do not have a good memory for their faces. I killed so many women, I have a hard time keeping them straight. I have reviewed information and discovery about each of the murders with my attorneys, and I am positive that I killed each one of the women charged in the second amended information. I killed them all in King County. I killed most of them in my house near Military Road, and I killed a lot of them in my truck, not far from where I picked them up. I killed some of them outside. I remember leaving each woman's body in the place where she was found. I have discussed with my attorneys the common scheme or plan, aggravating circumstance charged in all these murders. I agree that each of the murders I committed was part of a common scheme or plan. The plan was, I wanted to kill as many women I thought were prostitutes as I possibly could. I picked prostitutes as my victims because I hate most prostitutes and I did not want to pay them for sex. I also picked prostitutes as victims because they were easy to pick up without being noticed. I knew they would not be reported missing right away and might never be reported missing. I picked prostitutes because I thought I could kill as many of them as I wanted without getting caught. Another part of my plan was where I put the bodies of these women. Most of the time, I took the women's jewelry and their clothes to get rid of any evidence and make them harder to identify. I placed most of the bodies in groups, which I call clusters. I did this because I wanted to keep track of all the women I killed. I like to drive by the clusters around the county and think about the women I placed there. I usually used a landmark to remember a cluster and the women I placed there. Sometimes I killed and dumped a woman, intending to start a new cluster, and never returned because I thought I might get caught putting more women there. I'm sorry for killing all those young ladies. Many don't know what to make of this. Some believe Gary's shell cracked by an act of kindness. Others believe it was a display of a manipulative sociopath. In 2011, Gary pleaded guilty to the 49th victim. Frequently, he's taken on what many describe as his field trips to find his victims' bodies. On few occasions, these trips are successful. On most, bodies aren't found. It's believed by some, including myself, that Gary sometimes fabricates location to enjoy a long day spent in the wilderness. If you recall, Gary was an outdoorsman. Past tense, was. Now he spends his days rotting behind bars. So, when on these trips, the brief excursions from the hell he's earned himself, Gary can hardly contain his excitement. He's giddy. And when a body does turn up, often prideful of the findings, you can see the enjoyment reflected in his face. To this day, Gary requests these field trips, all under the guise of wanting to help find more bodies for the victims' families. I'm critical of motivation. I feel it's more likely that he's scratching an old itch, tasting freedom. Investigators are torn between making an attempt to find the bodies and just letting Gary rot. There's no easy answer here.
And I enjoyed looking out the window at her when she wasn't watching.
Did your mom enjoy that?
She didn't even know I was there. No. She was down just doing, just sunbathing, and then she'd turn over, and before she turned over, she always fastened her bra and turned over, and maybe a little bit up here to show because she no tan marks. And I stared and looked out all the time.
And had your fantasies?
I had a fantasy, yes.
Makes sense to me. Makes sense that you would have a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Need to have you tell me what that was.
Just a fantasy of wanting to have sex, touch her, feel her body, have her show me how to have sex, because mothers teach you a lot of things, you know. It's just a fantasy. It's something she wouldn't do it, but it's...
What would, in your fantasy, what would your mom have you do to her?
Have me do to her? My fantasy would be to... And explore to find different things what women has, girls have that guys don't have. Show me how to have sex, good sex. What the woman wants, and feel every bit of her body to enjoy a woman and have sex with her.
But at the same time in your life, and listen carefully to this, at the same time in your life, you also hate your mom for what she's doing to you.
Yes.
So how are those thoughts and fantasies colliding together? Because we know that that happens.
Mm-hmm.
How are they colliding together in your head?
And gliding together in my head when she was just laying down there, she was more of a sex object than a mother, and more of the fantasies of having sex with her and nothing to have and to kill her. Two different things when she was always, Dr. Jekyll Hyde, when she's down there, she's a sex fantasy, sex object. When she's up there trying to get me to read, and she's the other side of something I hated. I loved the part of her being a sex object, but I didn't like the part of her being the mother and working with me as trying to help me in reading and I liked the sex part better than I liked the mother that was always trying to hurt, belittle me and because I wasn't...
One has to wonder, listening to Gary describe his sexual fantasies of his mother, if this was a root cause for his desire to kill sex workers. The way that he described how he liked when his mother was sunbathing under the sun, incapacitated, not a threat. Serial killer Edmund Kemper once confessed that after he killed his mother, the drive to kill was gone, that he had found his white whale. No one can know what actually tumbles around in the brain of Gary Ridgway. Well, no one but Gary, that is. But I can't help but wonder if, when Gary killed all those sex workers, was he really killing his mother over and over?
She was the big problem I had. I mean, my dad wasn't around that much. He was working all the time, and she was on one that was in control, and she was constantly trying to get me to do better in school, and I just couldn't do better. I wanted to have her stop, and the only way was to kill her, to hurt her bad. Angry at her for pushing and pushing and pushing on me to remember, and I just couldn't remember, and I just wanted her to stop. In my head, I don't know what I would do. I just wanted her to stop. One time there, they were going to put me in a special school. I didn't want that. My dad and my mom were arguing about it all the time. And it was for retarded people, and I wasn't retarded, I don't think. So I was mad at them for wanting to put me away from other kids.
Now you're crying as you remember that. Why are you crying?
Because I didn't want to go. And wanting to hurt her, and wanting to hurt her bad. During that thing, I usually took it out on other things instead of hurting her. Living things, killing animals. I stabbed a kid one time. Stabbed a kid with a knife down by Chinook, where I used to go to school. And boy was playing. I stabbed him in the side and didn't kill him. And I think it must have been about sixth grade, or I think it was seventh grade. And that was at the same time I was, you know, breaking out windows, throwing rocks at windows. That's what I took my aggression on. I couldn't take it on my mom. I had to take it on my animals. And online, I killed a lot of birds, but one cat suffocated in an ice chest. And shot babies at dogs to hurt them. And
in 2015, Gary Ridgway moved from Washington to Colorado to end his solitary confinement. Due to his notoriety, previously he spent his prison sentence in total isolation. In Colorado, he was set to be placed in general population. After public outcry, he was moved back to Washington. In recent years, Ridgway has complained of mental health issues and has been placed on medication. Dave Reichert, a man who spent time as a member of the Green River Task Force, built an entire career off the backs of the victims in this case. If you spend enough time researching Gary Ridgway, the case, and the Green River Task Force, you will likely come to the same conclusion. Dave Reichert is a career opportunist who inflates his role in capturing Gary Ridgway. Many people, me included, believe that Gary would have been caught long before 2001. But the Green River Task Force and Dave Reichert dropped the ball, again and again. An entire episode could be devoted to Reichert's bumbling investigation, his inflated ego, and his theatrical grandstanding. But that would be pointless now. What's done is done. Though I'm happy to tell you, listener, don't fall for the grifter's shtick. But you can find Dave Reichert all over documentaries explaining his expert strategies for capturing and interrogating Gary Ridgway. Dave worked his way up to becoming a congressman off the back of large claims he's made over the years. He even wrote a book about his experiences. If you want some food for thought, 5 days before election time, a search for more bodies was orchestrated. Interesting timing. Dave Reichert should be remembered as the lying politician he is, and will likely remain until the day he dies. As for Gary Ridgway, what is there to say? A near-illiterate sociopath that snuffed out the lives of many. He killed sex workers because he deemed them a sort of freebie. Listener, no matter your religious beliefs, it's worth noting that Ridgway is a devout Christian. If there is an afterlife, Gary will spend it burning in hell.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.